Directions Magazine. This is Directions on the News for Tuesday, June 25th, 2013. This weekly podcast brings you the latest information on geospatial technology and all things location. This is Joe Francica, Editor-in-Chief, today in Hightstown, New Jersey.
And this is Adina Schutzberg, Executive Editor in Somerville, Massachusetts.
Skybox, a startup company launching small sats or CubeSats, has been in the news recently. What's Skybox? What's a CubeSat? And why does it have the potential to revolutionize satellite imagery acquisition? We'll tackle that and more, but first a word from our sponsor.
This podcast is brought to you by Esri. Make ArcGIS Online the mapping platform for your organization. Sign up for a free 30-day trial today at esri.com/agoleval.
Skybox bills itself as an information analytics company, but what it's really doing is launching a constellation of 24 satellites that will capture high-resolution imagery, and for the first time, according to Skybox, HD video in what will be repeat coverage multiple times a day. It's signing partnerships for ground stations, such as that was recently announced in Japan, employing open source technology like Apache Hadoop, an open source framework for distributing all of the processed data coming from the satellite technology. It already has a license from NOAA to operate SkySat 1 and 2. And this will allow it to offer sub-meter resolution, panchromatic, and multispectral imagery. The satellite will operate in a polar-inclined, circular, low-Earth orbit. Big dollars are behind Skybox. They recently received $70 million in Series C funding from Canaan Partners and Norwest Ventures. This brings their total VC funding to about $91 million. It's got a lot of potential, but there are also some risks involved. Size is a factor, and one of the big competitive advantages is that the launch instrument is only about 220 pounds. That's what a CubeSat is. CubeSats are essentially small satellites, some weighing as little as 2.2 pounds, but Skybox's SkySat 1 and 2 are about the size of a college refrigerator, again, 220 pounds. The other size issue that matters is the market potential that Skybox is looking at, potentially $2.3 billion a year, according to the company. So size matters. I'm not sure I necessarily buy the total market potential, because what we know now is 80% of that market is controlled by the U.S. government. And even though that Skybox has been granted a license from NOAA, they still have to find the market potential. They still have to find that market for what's going to be lots and lots of imagery. They'll be competing with other commercial satellite providers like Digital Globe, but they have this advantage of size, repeat coverage, and low-cost, low-orbit satellites. How much is size a factor here, Adina, and what are the other risk factors involved in a CubeSat-like launch vehicle?
Well, I'm not sure that the size issue is really the right maybe descriptor. I think the real issue here is, what is the demand for the product that they want to offer? And is the delta between the product that they're going to offer, which is ideally lower cost, higher repeatability, potentially higher resolution imagery, is the delta between that and what Digital Globe offers now and has for some time enough to explode a new market? Because let's face it, the exploding market of remote sensing just never happened, so far as I'm concerned.
All right, so this is the real issue, and you've hit it right on the head. If you want an analogy to think about, let's think about what Apple had tried to do or did do with the music industry. You didn't know that you wanted to purchase music in a way that Apple served it up until they had iTunes. And if you remember, of course, the genius behind Apple wasn't the new market for music. We always wanted a desire for music, nor was it the distribution platform, right? Small things like Sony Walkman were around for years. The genius was the distribution mechanism, iTunes. Will Skybox make it easy for commercial clients to buy and analyze these data, whether it's video or still imagery? What is that answer? Even today, corporate customers using maps like the way the data is presented, but they don't know how to have the answer. So the same thing applies in the digital mapping market, the commercial market for data about spatial information, as will be the same for satellite imagery. Just having the bits and the bytes and the pixels isn't going to be the answer. It's going to be what they come from it. Now, they put that interesting definition to their company and they're on their about page that they're an analytics company, but they never talk about what they're going to deliver. All they talk about is delivering imagery. So there's a gap there. There's a gap in what they're talking about and what they're actually going to deliver.
And that's exactly it. So what is the product? And to be fair, Digital Globe and everybody else has had this problem of, yeah, we have all this data, but how do we turn it into information and thus a solution?
Yeah. This wide gap that exists is between the data and the actual information. And you said it in the first, we haven't been able to explode that remote sensing market. So who's going to give them the answer? Are there other service companies going to be out there that are going to be analyzing the data? We know about this problem of persistent surveillance. And if they're going to deliver high definition video, somebody's going to have to be out there sorting through the imagery and the video to find change detection. That's really what they perceive the market to be is. If you're collecting data that rapidly, then there's got to be the answer, right? The answer's got to be what's the change and what's the market for change detection?
Yeah, constant surveillance, the niche for that, I think, outside of the government is pretty small.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
So if you look at their examples, which are the same examples that Digital Globe and everybody else has had forever, right?
It's all the same.
Change detection of the vegetation, and there was a pile of scrap outside the nuclear plant, and now the pile of scrap is bigger, and how many cars are in the Walmart parking lot, right?
Yeah.
Do we need that every 8 hours?
Yeah, no. It's going to take something different. Okay, it's going to take a different education of the market to say, you know what, I want to know the change in the number of cars in the parking lot every 8 hours.
And that's why your iTunes analogy only goes so far, because as you pointed out, we know what music is, and we all want music, right?
Yeah.
That's a human thing, right?
Right.
Now we all know about imagery, and we know we can get it on Google Earth, and some people think that's real time, right? Still.
Right. Right.
Right. But very few people really understand what change detection is for or how it can be used. And even fewer of them can make the leap between what change detection is and how it might have an impact on their company, because those are the people who are going to do the buying.
Right.
Now, one write-up I saw had this little story, and we've heard this forever too, that all you need is a credit card, right? And you go to the website and you download the latest shot of whatever it is you're interested in. Okay. What is the compelling reason for that? And how many people are going to buy that? And how much is that going to cost?
Yeah. No, that's the issue. But take the workflow even a step further. Counting the cars in the parking lot is an easy example to think about. The answer is, what's that impact to the company for whom that impacts? The company
bottom
could
line
be,
for Walmart.
Right.
Or
so what's
competitor.
What's right. So what did they want? Is it that they want to know how many people are going to buy? Does that have a direct relationship to the revenue generated at that store? If it did have that impact, what does it really mean for merchandising in that store? Is there going to be some change in product pricing that's going to impact? If for some reason they have more cars in the parking lot, does that impact demand? There's no compelling argument to link the two together. So just counting cars doesn't really mean anything. And the same thing applies in the opposite direction. If you're counting cars of the competitor, what does that mean for you? Is it market share? I mean, this is not new stuff, because already companies who are in merchandising and marketing, like a Walmart, like a Lowe's, like the big box retailers, look at traffic data to get that information. So counting cars in the parking lot is only one other piece of data. It's not the whole story. So they've got a different argument to make.
Right. Well, there's two points that you're really making there. One is that the connection between the value of the data that then maybe we turn into information and the bottom line has not been fully made. And I think that's true whether you're talking about counting cars in the parking lot and even things that are very much further along, like using remote sensing for agriculture and managing crops.
Right.
We know something about it, but we're certainly not as far along as we could be. It's not sort of a done deal that you're going to save a gajillion dollars, right?
Right, right. And I'll give you the other example, and it's an integrated marketing approach. Years ago, I was visiting a Mars Candy store, a Mars Candy company, and they had a very integrated approach towards remote sensing. They had to monitor the cocoa crop, and it's kind of funny because I told this story last week when I was in Brazil, because they were monitoring cocoa crops, I believe, in Brazil in order to look at the commodity pricing, whether their yield was going to be as good this year as it was last year. So that had a direct impact on how much cocoa was going to be bought for their chocolate bars. That's a, you know, that problem was known back in the 80s, right? So, and that's a change detection problem. You want to know the cocoa crop yield from one year to the next. But we don't need repeat coverage. We don't need real-time video.
Eight-hour
repeat coverage, exactly.
Right. Well, and the other thing that you raise here is that while this is one way to capture this kind of information, today, more than ever, we have 1,000 other proxies to get at this information.
Right, right.
Right? So back in the day, of course, if you didn't have the helicopter or the airplane taking the picture of the Walmart parking lot, you could have somebody go walk up and down the rows in the Walmart parking lot and count the cars.
Sure, right? Sure, for a lot less money.
And, you know, while for sure there are things that you must see overhead and you must see them at the appropriate scale, there are plenty of other things that it's just not going to be worth tracking this down.
Yeah. I think the other fear factor I have for Skybox is one I wanted to raise is does the drone market, the unmanned aerial vehicle market, actually supplant the offer from Skybox? Does it become obsolete before it even launches?
Well, they don't have a bird in the sky yet, and the vision right now is that the first bird will go up this fall.
Right.
The first bird of the 24 to get that 8-hour coverage worldwide.
Right.
And to be fair, there's still some government issues related to Skybox, and there's certainly still government issues related to drones. The timing on this is crucial. If they don't get it up and running fast enough, they're dead in the water.
Yeah, well, again, they're only launching the first two, and they need the 24 for the repeat coverage. In the intervening time period, will solutions from Digital Globe, a solution from a drone manufacturer, take the market away from them before it becomes commercially viable? And that's the big risk to their venture backers.
Now, I do have to say something very positive about this whole vision. And that's that, so far as I'm concerned, Skybox has the Google vision, right? We're working on inexpensive commodity hardware, big focus on open source. It was really cool to see Hadoop in there, since that was one of the terms that we talked about last week.
Last week, yeah. Right?
So that's all good. And maybe, I certainly want to entertain the possibility that they are building a database, and we're not really sure what we're going to do with it, but we're building it. And in a sense, Google did that too. They didn't build so much the content. They built the metadata. And guess what? We didn't know we wanted the metadata, but we really do.
Yeah, right.
So there may be that kind of thing going on yet, and we just can't see it because of where we are in the course
well,
of time.
And my positive spin on this, just like the Apple model, was we didn't know that we wanted it until there was the distribution mechanism. And I think that's where they have the opportunity to offer the market something really, really exciting, is if they can get that distribution model correctly, which I don't think Digital Globe has got to yet, even though I know DG is working on a better distribution model to be able to cookie cut out imagery where the way it wants it. I think some of the real-time opportunities will present themselves. And again, we didn't know that we wanted them until they would be there.
Right.
But I go back to your comment about whether the market is still small. The media companies have always wanted real-time data. That's a small market.
It's a small market, and it's getting smaller. And that's not a place to put a lot of energy right now. The other thing that's going to be key for Skybox, though, is if they're going to spend their time and energy collecting the data and putting together this distribution mechanism, which I agree with you is absolutely vital, and nobody has done it, so far as I'm concerned, yet. The other thing that they're going to have to do is to get some really good partners to bring all of this data to the various markets. A lot of companies haven't been able to do that. I mean, look at Digital Globe. They should have had very dedicated partners for all of the different industries, for, you know, pipeline and agriculture and retail and so forth. And I challenge you to name any company that does that against their imagery.
Right. Yeah, not yet.
I'm sure there's some out there, and they're probably small, and I hope they're very successful. But if we're going to do this big, we got to do this big.
Well, I think it's going to take a little bit of thought outside the skybox. So we'll leave it there for today. That's all the time we have.
Our sponsor, ESRI, would like you to know that the ESRI Business Summit will be held July 7th through 9th in San Diego, California. Attend the summit to learn how you can use GIS and location analytics to reveal trends, patterns, and relationships in your data not apparent in traditional tables and charts. Visit esri.com/bizsummit for more information and to register.
And from us here at Directions Magazine, we hope that you'll attend the .map conference, the first ever .map conference. It's going to be about the business of maps, bringing the world of digital and print publishing together. Find more information at .mapconference.net. And if you'd like to comment about today's podcast, you can write to us at editors@directionsmag.com. Leave a comment where this podcast is posted on Directions Magazine, or send us a tweet at Directions Mag. Thanks again for joining us today, and be sure to tell a friend.